One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
In the month of May 2010, Pastor Chris shared on three factors of life.
Three very important factors that are so important in life, in your walk with God. Number one, purpose. Number two, plan. And number three, timing.
Getting to know these factors will cause tremendous growth in your life and all that you do. God bless you.
There are three important things that I want to bring to your understanding today, and I want to pass them through the Holy Spirit into your heart, into your spirit. And from today, you'll recognize them and begin to work with them. Three very important factors that are so important in life, in your walk with God. And I'm going to endeavor to read some scriptures to you that will help you understand the various points that I want to share with you. Number one, purpose. Purpose. Number two, plan. Plan. P-L-A-N. Plan. And number three, timing. If you become conscious of these three factors, you will experience tremendous growth and development in your life and in everything you do. So we're going to start from the first one, purpose. Jesus had a purpose. God has a purpose for this world. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for everything that he does. He doesn't just work. He has a purpose for everything. He has a purpose for everything. Jesus, I said, had a purpose. Now, in St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, he said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it to the full." King James says, more abundantly. He established for us his clear purpose. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it to the full. So Jesus had a purpose for his coming. He had a purpose. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he tells us, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." He established his purpose. See that? "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Then, in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, And verse 10, he tells us, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. His purpose was very clear. Very clear. He came to do the will of the Father. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And you remember this. You were born for a purpose. You came to do the will of your Father. It's important that you discover your purpose. Let me read something to you from the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, from verse 15. You remember on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus had an encounter with the Lord when he saw a light shining from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun, and he was knocked down by the glory of that light. And the Lord spoke to him, you remember, when he called him by name. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You remember that. From verse 15 here, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. You see, you don't do nothing without a purpose. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Wow. He says, I have appeared to you to make you a minister. That's what he said to Paul. A minister. To do what? You look at verse 18. To open their eyes, the eyes of who? The Gentiles, in verse 17. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He had a purpose. He said, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. To make you a minister and a witness. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. What is your purpose? Have you discovered your purpose? Have you found out about your life? Have you discovered your purpose for life? You know why you were born? Have you found out? If you haven't found out, you can do that today. Be bold to ask the Lord. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Often, it's revealed in our spirit. In our walk with the Lord, we'll discover our purpose. Sometimes he'll speak to you expressly, like he did Paul here. Sometimes he'll guide you into that purpose. And every day you discover more and more the purpose of God for your life. As you walk with him, as you do the things of God, you discover your purpose for life. But it's important that you find out. It's important that you get to know. You know God's purpose for your life. Why you were born. And you know what? The generic purpose is that you were born for the glory of God. You were born for his glory. You were born to walk with God. You were born to bring him honor. That's what you were born for. And let that purpose become established in your heart today. And then you thank him, Lord, I was born for a reason. I was born for your glory. Take a hold of that revelation. Take a hold of that divine vision to bring him glory. That's the purpose for your life. The second thing plan? What is God's plan? In other words, when you find out about your purpose, you want to follow in His plan. You see, knowing God's purpose is not enough. What is His plan for carrying out that purpose? What is His plan? God cares about plans. God cares about how things are done. He's got plans. Now that He has a purpose for your life, are you following in His plan? Are you following His plan for your life? You have to see to it that you're functioning according to His plan. Doesn't matter what you do, where you work, what business you do. What is God's plan? Are you following His plan? Are you following His plan for your family? Are you following His plan for your business? God's got a plan for your business. Are you following His plan for your finances? You know why a lot of God's children have problems that they find difficult to solve? Why sometimes they lose their business, they lose everything they got? Because they're not following God's plan. You see, it's one thing for Him to have a purpose for your life. It's another thing for you to follow in His plan. Learn to follow God's plan. It could save your life. I want to read something to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And I'm reading from verse 13. For because He did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought Him not after the due order. Now, what's he talking about? This was the occasion where David had asked the children of Israel to bring the Ark of God into the city of David. And you know what David did? He got a new cart. He got the best horses in the land to carry the Ark of God, to transport the Ark of God into the place that he had prepared for it. And so the children of Israel gathered, and they made a lot of noise and praised the Lord. They were so excited. They danced, you know. They were feasting over this. And two men were in the cart together with the Ark of God. As they drove the cart, the Ark of God, to the city of David. The Bible tells us something happened. Something significant happened. The horses stumbled and the cart shook. The Ark of God shook. And the two men tried to stop it from falling. When they did, the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled against those two men for touching the Ark of God. And they were killed instantly. David became afraid of God that day and wouldn't bring the Ark of God to the city of David anymore. He was afraid. They had to keep the Ark of God in the house of a man known as Obed-Edom. And when the Ark of God was put in that man's house, he was blessed. His family was blessed. And David was wondering, how come this man's getting blessed? He's got the Ark of God in his house. I was trying to bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem, and I got trouble. He wondered why. And then he found out why. He searched the scriptures and found out the reason. And then he called the elders again and called the priests, the Levites. He called them and he said, I found the reason why we got trouble the first time. And that's why I read to you verse 13, chapter 15, 1 Chronicles. For because you did it not at the first, he said, the priest said to the priest, you were not the ones that carried it at the first. Because it was the priest who was supposed to carry the Ark of God. That was the prescription of God. That was God's plan. You see, that was God's plan. And he said, for because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. There is a due order. And this was what David found out, but it was very costly. It cost the lives of two men. David found out after the death of two men. Their lives could have been saved if they had done this the right way the first time. We sought him not after the due order. See, that was the first problem. And then, if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 8. And I'm reading to you verse 5. Now, from the fourth verse, it talks about the priests. And continues in verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses, now this is the part I want you to see. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, God said to him, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. God said, see that you make all things according to the pattern, according to the plan. God had a plan. You see, he had a plan. And he said to Moses, see that you carry out everything according to the plan. God is always concerned that you carry things out according to the plan. According to the plan. You remember, Moses learned a terrible lesson when he did things outside the plan of God. If you go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 20. From verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and I want you to follow this reading very carefully, and you'll make some observation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. Now, Moses is talking to the children of Israel. Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. He smote the rock twice. Go back to verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. God said, take the rod in your hand. You see, you've got to follow his instruction carefully. He said, take the rod in your hand, and speak to the rock. Talk to the rock, and water will come out of the rock. But look what we find. Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. God didn't say smite the rock. God said talk to the rock. You see, the plan of God was to talk to the rock. Moses smote the rock, and he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. You see, it worked. Water came out. You see, water came out. Why did Moses do that? Because the first time, when the people were thirsty, and he said to God, the people are thirsty, what am I going to do? God said, take your rod and go to the rock. When you get to the rock, strike it, and water will come out of the rock. And, you know, he smote the rock, and water came out of the rock. The second time, God said, talk to the rock, but hold the rod in your hand, but talk to the rock. Now Moses, this time he's not listening to God. Why? He's angry. Something's changed. Moses offended. Anger can make you lose the plan of God and do the wrong thing. Be careful about anger. He was angry with the people. He said, "Must we bring you water out of this rock, ye rivers?" And he smote the rock twice. The water came out, though. But God was angry with Moses. You see, just because it worked doesn't mean you're in the plan of God. What is God's plan? Did you know God has a plan for the things you do, for the life you live? Are you living God's plan? You see, are you doing things according to his plan? Look at this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 12, and Aaron, because he believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctifying them. Terrible. And because of this very thing, Moses was not allowed to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He didn't complete his ministry because of this. Can you see that? You want to serve God with your life? Follow his plan. Follow his plan. And you know, if you don't know the word of God, you can't follow God's plan. His word reveals his plan. And his spirit enlightens you to understand that plan. Follow God's plan. In Psalm 127, verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Don't you understand it? He didn't say they're not building. They're building all right, but they're building in vain. They're laboring all right. They're laboring in vain. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Why would you want to labor in vain? Why don't you build according to God's plan? Why don't you work according to God's plan? Why don't you function according to God's plan? Make a decision today to follow God's plan. Number one, establish his purpose for your life. Number two, understand his plan and follow. Understand his plan and follow. See, you follow the plan. There are little details in the things of God. For example, Moses didn't know how important this was. When God said, talk to the rock, he thought it was just a light thing. He was used to carrying that rod and using it for a miracle because God showed it to him. But he didn't know when God made a change, how important that little change was. See, God said, now you take the rod in your hand, you stand before the rock and talk to the rock, and we bring you water. It seemed so light to Moses. But you see, the rest of his ministry was hinged on this instruction. And he didn't know it. He didn't know it. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when you read it, read from verse 1 to verse 4, he tells us that that rock was Christ. If Moses had known that that rock typified Christ, the rock from where water came out typified Christ, he wouldn't have struck the rock. But he didn't know. He was ignorant there. He didn't know. The rock was Christ. And Christ was only to be smitten once. And after he was smitten, you don't smite him again. You talk. You talk to the rock. And water will come out. You see, he was crucified for us. After he was crucified, that brought salvation to the whole world. You don't have to crucify him again to get saved. He doesn't have to go to the cross again for you to get saved. Now, you call upon his name and you receive salvation. You receive whatever it is you desire of the Lord. There's timing with God. That's the third thing. Remember, the first one, purpose. The second one, plan. The third one, timing. If I go on to tell you about the timing, I want you to think again about the first and the second one. Purpose. If you were doing something, assuming you were starting a business, what's the purpose? Why are you starting it? Are you starting it to compete with somebody else and say, well, I got something to prove? Are you trying to prove something, or is God leading you? Why do you want that particular venue? Is God leading you? Is it in God's plan? That's why I tell you, don't strive with other people. You don't need to strive. Don't fight with others. No. You don't need to. If you will commit your work to the Lord and trust Him, He will bring you through. That's it. He's already established you on the rock, Christ Jesus. And no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. You are founded on the rock. And it doesn't matter who's trying to take away from you what God has given to you. It will not work. Because the Lord is with you. Establish His purpose for your life, for your business, for your family, for your finances. Another thought, along the same lines. For example, the Lord has equipped you with some abilities, some talents, some gifts. What is His purpose? Why did God do this in your life? It's not for yourself. Everything that God's given to you is primarily to expand His kingdom. Everything that God has put in your life is primarily to bring Him honor and glory. Primarily for you to serve Him. Your life is for a purpose. Don't forget it. You're living for Him. Establish that for yourself. Make up your mind about it. There are no two ways about it. Make up your mind. Be very definite. You say to yourself, my life is for a purpose. It's for God's glory. Let that be established in your innermost being. And then discover His plan. Function according to His plan. The more you study the Word, the more you discover God's plan for your life. The more you understand His plan, His ways of doing things, and how He wants you to function. Imagine, He even told us how to pray. He taught us how to pray. How to pray accurately. He taught us how to study the Scriptures and how to use the Word and have results. This is all so important. And it tells us things that we must eliminate from our lives. Anger, envy, bitterness. These are cancerous things that you must never allow in your life. Remember, I read to you in that Psalm 37, says, fret not yourself in any way to do evil. He says, cease from anger. Sometimes you find some of God's children who get too angry. Some of you pastors and leaders may find yourself in that situation, getting more angry, easily offended, because things are not going right. Don't get impatient. No, cease from anger. Become composed. Cease from anger. Don't fret yourself in any way to do wrong. Get yourself founded on the Word. And some of you brethren, you know, you allow bitterness because of something somebody said to you, because of something, maybe somebody hurt you, whatever it is, you must not let bitterness enter into your life. It could destroy you. God cannot function with your bitterness. The Bible says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So get rid of anger. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of envy. Get rid of those things in your life. And become free in your spirit. And walk in love. You don't only love those who love you. You love those who you think are against you. And many times the people you think are against you are not even against you at all. Could be because of the things you heard. Sometimes your mind imagines all kinds of things. You become suspicious and offended. Those things can destroy the work of God in your life. Get rid of them. Become free in your spirit. Become free in your spirit. And then you find that God's purpose is working in your life. And then you can function in God's plan and with God's plan. Remember, I told you things to get rid of if you're going to function in His plan. Because His plan doesn't include those things, doesn't include those negatives. Fear also, get rid of fear. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is these are sins of the spirit. Fear, anger, unbelief, bitterness, envy. These are all sins of the spirit. They can send somebody to hell. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Those are things that could destroy you. They could stop you from fulfilling the purpose of God for your life. Look what anger did to Moses. He was angry with the people. And because of that, could not lead the children of Israel into the promised land. The anointing of God can lift from your life because of anger. You remember Elisha, the man of God? He was angry with the king of Israel. Ahab and Jehoshaphat came to see him. And he was offended. He said, I wouldn't even look at you if not because of Jehoshaphat. He was offended. See, the king of Judah and the king of Israel. And so, Jehoshaphat was a good man. But Ahab was naughty. And Elijah was offended. He said, I wouldn't even look at you. And because of that anger, the anointing of God didn't function. He had to call for a musician to come play so the anointing will come. And that was the only time that a prophet of God needed some aid for the anointing to come. What caused it? Anger. Anger stopped the flow of the anointing in his life. Don't let these things destroy your life. So get rid of them. They will not work with God's plan. Now, the third one I told you about is timing. The timing of God is important. Now, I'm going to tell you why I brought these three things to your notice. Because when we start praying again, you would understand what this is all about. Timing. God has timing. You know how important that timing is? Why were you born at the time you were born? Why are you here today? Why are you alive today? Isn't there a reason for your coming? There must be. God's got something to do with it. Why? Why at this time? Why didn't you come in the 1800s? Why weren't you born in the 20, maybe in the 12th century? Why weren't you born in the days of Moses? Why now? Why did you come now? I'd like to read something to you that's always so inspiring from the book of Esther, chapter number 4. Book of Esther, chapter 4. You remember, the children of Israel were in trouble. They were in a terrible predicament because there was a man that hated them, and that man had become highly placed. The king had honored the man. Haman was his name. And Haman hated the Jews, and now he had great political power to go ahead and destroy them. And he wanted to destroy them. But Esther, who was one of the Jews, had been married to the king. And she had a great life in the palace. And Mordecai, her uncle, had come to look for her. She said, "Please, you are in the king's palace. Please speak to the king for us. Haman wants to destroy all of us." And she said, "Hey, you know, I can't just go to the presence of the king. You know, these things have their own arrangements. There's some protocol. I can't go there now." And then Mordecai sent a message, and that's what I want to read to you. Very, very instructive. From verse 13, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shall escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement, respite, and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed.'" And listen to the next line. "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Oh God. Oh. Wow. What an answer. He sent a message to Esther. He said, "Don't think that because you are in the king's palace, you will escape more than the rest of the Jews." He said, "If you will not act now, if you wouldn't do something now, then help will come from some other place." I want to bring this to your mind. Who does God want you to help? Make sure you do. Make sure you help. Maybe you are the Esther that God has placed in government. Maybe you are the Esther that God has placed in a strategic position. And you're getting to know about some issues where God's people can be helped. Sometimes it might even be the ministry. There have been situations where some of God's children, or someone, a child of God, needed some help. Or even the ministry needed some intervention from someone who was in a powerful position to help. I wonder whether you helped at the time of need. That will be to your own heart. But here is what Mordecai said to her. Who knows? Maybe you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Maybe God placed you there because he knew that the time of trouble will come and you will be the one in that position to help. There's a time appointed, and maybe that time is where you're in right now. What time are you living in? Who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this? For such a time as this. For such a time as this. Maybe you are the voice of help for such a time as this. Maybe you are the answer for such a time as this. Ask yourself, "Lord, why am I in this position? It must be for your glory. Why am I here at this time? It must be for your glory." And here's something the Spirit of God wants me to tell you. Remember, whatever the Lord is teaching you, whatever the Lord has exposed you to, whatever he has helped you to know, whatever gifts and abilities he's given to you, use them for the ministry, for the furtherance of the gospel. Find the opportunity to use the abilities that God has given to you to advance the work of the ministry. Don't hide what you know. Don't hide your abilities. Don't hide your talents. Don't hide the opportunities that God has given to you. Ask yourself, prayerfully, Lord, what can I do for the ministry? How can I contribute? You can contribute. You can contribute. See, a lot of times when we talk about giving in the ministry, it's not only in terms of money. And a lot of you really give money. And I want to express appreciation for that. And the Lord will continue to bless you. But there's more. There are abilities that you have. There are things that God has given you opportunity to know. And sometimes we need this in the ministry. Find yourself. Become available. Bring in what the Lord has taught you. And let us advance the work. We may not even know you are there. We may not even know what you can do. Who knows if you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Psalm 102. I want to read verse 13. It says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. As it is timing with God. The set time. The time to favor her. The set time is come. The set time. What is that set time that God has for you? For what he wants you to do. There's a set time. God's purpose. God's plan. God's timing. What is his set time? What is his set time? Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. Oh, I don't know what's happening where you are right now. Maybe the whole church. This is your set time. This is your set time. The Spirit of God is ministering to you. Why are you hearing the things you're hearing? Listen, why has the Spirit of God brought you a special message within these last few days? Why? Because there's a set time. And this is your set time. And the time of favor has come for you. This is your set time with the Spirit of God. And the anointing is on you. The anointing is on you. Thank him for it. The anointing is on you. And it's working right now. Oh, glory to God. And maybe you haven't committed your life to Christ. You know, don't postpone it. For that one, the only set time that God has for you is today.
The message that you have just heard is a production of the Love World Media Ministry. For this and other messages by Pastor Chris, visit our Christ Embassy bookstores. Or better still, log on to our website at ChristEmbassyOnlineStore.org. And that's just a click away. God bless you.